invite you to turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And it's a little bit of a different passage of scripture this morning on the Sunday before Christmas, but I hope you'll understand my reasoning behind it as we look at this passage this morning and as we think of some of the implications that are for you and I in these days, in these challenging days. And these have been challenging days. The year 2020, we have about 12 days left. And there's a lot of people going, yay! And very excited to look at this year in the rearview mirror. In some ways, I am. But you know, I look at 2020 and I've seen some blessings as well. I've seen God do some things that are a little bit beyond what I usually imagine. And so, you know, if you're part of the crowd that's glad to see this year and glad to see it out and say goodbye to it, then fine. But one of the things that has really touched my heart and has spoken to me during this entire year is how people have been gripped by the notion of fear. Fear. I see it written in so many people's faces, from their conversations, from their dialogue with other people, from what I see in the media, and what I see in the news, and what I see on TV, and in the neighborhood, and in the coffee shop, and all around. I see people who are filled with fear. My mother-in-law being one of them. And there are some people within this congregation that are gripped by fear as well. But the one great important message that you and I need to take to our hearts during this Christmas season is what the angels declared over Bethlehem on that dark night when Jesus was born. When he said, "Fear not, for unto you a son is given." Fear not. Those words need to be spoken. Fear not. And here in the book of Isaiah, it's a passage of scripture that we don't read very often for Christmas, but it is a messianic prophecy proclaiming and telling forth the coming of Jesus. And it is a messianic prophecy, I believe, that has some great truths that helps us understand some important facts. You know, it was a former president, FDR, that said these words that are should be on the board here. These words that say, or maybe they're not on the board. You got the outline? All right, he didn't get the outline. All right, fine. Write it down as you go through this morning. FDR said this. And he says, what did he say? Anybody remember what FDR said?
Nothing to fear.
We have nothing to fear but fear itself. Right? I have it written down here too. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. Those words were spoken during a very, very difficult time in our nation's history. And many of you may remember that period of time when our nation was at war, when it seemed as though everything was closing in, people's lives were being destroyed. Right after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, FDR stands up and he says, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." Well, even before that, many hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, the prophet Isaiah kind of catches on to that sentiment as well. And his basic thinking throughout this entire passage of Scripture, now you got to go back to and read chapter 11 of Isaiah, chapter 10, chapters 10, 11, and 12, and even chapter 13. I believe Isaiah is trying to teach the people of Israel that you don't have to be paralyzed with fear. and sidelined with uncertainty. That was where they were at. And I see this happening in our nation even today, that we as a nation have been paralyzed with fear and we have been sidelined with uncertainty. Unfortunately, there are those who are in political realms who are pushing that message. And there's certainly a great deal to fear from the coronavirus, and we ought not to diminish how awful this has been. And we ought to have a sense of fear. But when we become paralyzed with fear, that is something that is all captivating. That is something that is all overwhelming. That is something that contains us and holds us back and imprisons us in our minds, in our hearts, in our actions, in our relationships. And we ought not, as believers, to allow fear to grip us. We are told by Paul, the apostle, as he wrote to Timothy, he tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I believe that Jesus Christ came at Christmas time to give us that spirit of love. That's the theme of our Advent candle today, the candle of love we've lit, and it's a message that we need to hide in our hearts in an overwhelming way. So today, as we look at this passage, we are reminded that earlier on, Isaiah says the Lord himself will give you a sign in chapter 7 of Isaiah, verse number 14. And he says the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And you'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. As we read to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1 in particular, the writer Matthew, one of the disciples, he recalls those words from the Old Testament after giving a genealogy of the life of Christ and coming back even to the days of David. He goes back and traces his genealogy. We see that Matthew records these powerful words that his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. That word, those words, God with us, are powerful words. And we need to hear those words as we are embraced by so much fear and so much doubting and so much pain and so much tragedy in our world today. If you look up at chapter 9 of Isaiah, verses 6 and 7, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." Imagine. These are words for us today, that he was called Wonderful Counselor. The attributes of God are being spoken here by the prophet, that he is our Wonderful Counselor, that he is our Mighty God, that he is our Everlasting Father, and that he is the Prince of Peace. He is the true Prince of Peace. He is the only way to peace, because in him we live and move and have our being. Jesse was King David's father. We recall in chapter 11, it says a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse in Isaiah, and from the roots a branch will bear fruit. And the branches bore the fruit of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. The spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now, this section in Isaiah, it ends with chapter 12. And the final verses of this section, he tells us what the coming of the Messiah means for us today. It's amazing that even 400-500 years before Jesus was born, these words were spoken. Isaiah received this revelation from God as to what it was to come and what it would be like. In the final verses, he tells us of the coming of the Messiah and how this Emmanuel, God with us, would make sense to us, to you and I, even today. Could make a difference in the way we think, and make a difference in the way we live, make a difference in the relationships we have. And when we understand this, the lack of certainty and the lack of safety in this world doesn't seem nearly as daunting as it did before. You see, in Christ and in Christmas, we have a safe place. We have a place where we can regard security and safety and stability, and we can know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. When those words were spoken in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news." That was good news. That was news that was the best news ever for mankind to ever hear. Fear, and he says to fear not. And there are three things that I want to share with you this morning. Three reasons because of the coming of Christ, because of Christmas, we can face the future. And we can face these days that are ahead of us without fear and without having to tremble. The first thing I want you to see is that because of Christmas, you no longer need to fear the past. Because of Christmas, you no longer need to fear the past. And the Word of God is very clear on that. What most people are held back by is something that's happened in their past. Many people today cannot become whom God wants them to be because of their past, because of things that have happened, because of things that have transpired. Sometimes those are things that are no fault of their own. Many times they are things that are fault of their own. But our past seems to hold us back. It can hold an individual back. It can hold a church back. It can hold a society back. You see, either we'll be afraid that it will happen again, or we just can't let go of what's happened before. My granddaughter, who's 3 years old, sings a song. And it was funny because my son had a real tough day at work a couple of weeks ago. And she sings her song that she sees on her little children's TV program called Let It Go. Let it go, let it go. I don't know if you know that song or not. But it's a children's song. And those were just the right words for my son to hear. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. And as adults, sometimes we have a hard job to let things go. I've told you many times of my grandfather who had problems with his neighbor who kept letting his sheep into his pasture and into his oat field. He would never let it go. And finally, I believe that before he passed away, he did let it go. And he gave it over to God. But sometimes we fear the past by allowing the things of the past to cause anxiety, to cause a lot of commotion in our hearts when it's really not necessary. Oftentimes the fears of today are rooted in the regrets of yesterday. And I want you to know that God wants you to let them go. God wants you to let it go. Jesus Christ came into this world so that your sins can be forgiven. Jesus Christ was born a virgin. He lived for 33 years in this earth so that you and I might have liberty, and that you and I might have freedom from the things that drag us down. So we need to let it go. We have new life in Him. And facing the future without fear begins by letting go of yesterday. We need to put the year 2020 as far back in the rearview mirror as we possibly can and let it go on New Year's Eve come the stroke of midnight. Isaiah opens chapter 12, which reads like a hymn. If you see the scripture in front of you or on the screen, it says, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Now think about those words for just a moment. Some people don't want to hear about an angry God. Many people would rather hear of a loving God, a God who is all loving and is all kind and compassionate and gracious in every way. And true, He is. He is a loving God. The Bible says God is love in 1 John. They want to hear about a God who turns a blind eye to the horrible things that people do to one another. And that's not okay sometimes. It's okay if God is angry at the behavior of others, the really bad people. But not me, they say. I mean, what have I done to make God angry? Sometimes we ask that question to God. Lord, what have I done to make you angry? Why does it seem as though things have turned against me when I've lost that job, or I don't have the income I used to have, or when relationships have broken down and a lot of bad things have happened in my life? Lord, are you angry at me? I've asked that question, and I'm sure you have as well. I was watching a movie online not too long ago, and I'm not much for watching movies online, but I happened to watch one, and the video display stopped, and it all of a sudden froze in its place, and the audio kept going. The sound was fine, so I could hear what was going on, but the scene changed, and new dialogue was being spoken, but the image on the screen was in a permanent freeze frame. It was impossible to follow the story because the playback was stuck in the past. And that reminded me that that happens in our lives as well. Sometimes we're stuck in the past. We're frozen in the past. Sometimes we just stay there. And we don't want to move beyond that. But God says, get out of that rut. Move away from that. Move forward. Because I have something for you that's much better. You don't need to dwell on the past. Now, Jesus, I believe, when he was born 2,000 years ago, was born so we don't have to be stuck in the past. He didn't come into this world because of people being stuck in the past. He knew that there was a sin problem. And he knew that someday he would offer himself as a perfect sacrifice on the cross. And he would die for the sin of the whole world. But he shared wherever he went that once you were forgiven, you don't need to be stuck in the past. You don't need to be dwelling on the things of the past. I talk a lot about forgiveness because I need forgiveness. We all need forgiveness. You need it. We need it. There are none who are righteous, the Bible says. And Isaiah says, and later on he says, all we like sheep, we've gone astray, every single one of us. We've all turned in his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, what? The iniquity of us all. Laid on him the iniquity of all. Isaiah is talking about the Messiah here. He's talking about Jesus Christ, who had come to be the perfect sin bearer for not only my sin, and not only for your sin, but for the sin of the whole world. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Of us all. That's what Christmas is about. It's not all about tinsel and wrappings and everything else. This is a fundamental part of living. It's fundamental to live life without fear. Without fear. Because it means that our greatest enemy has been defeated. The past cannot hurt you anymore. Because Jesus Christ, through His death on the cross, has done away with the past. The fact is, the Bible says, you have been forgiven if you put your trust in Him. You have been made right with God through the gift of His Son. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If God is for us, who can be against us? That's part of the Christmas message. The coronavirus fits in there too. If God is for us, who can be against us? If pain from the past causes you to fear the future, I want you to know that the past has been dealt an eternal blow. And it has been settled. That you have absolutely nothing to fear from yesterday. Here's the second thing I want to share with you. Because of Christmas, no matter how weak you were yesterday, you can be strong today. No matter how weak you were yesterday, you can be strong today. No matter how weak you were in 2020, no matter how many times you've messed things up, no matter how many times you've failed, no matter how many times things have gone the wrong way, you can be strong today and tomorrow. Isaiah says that you will be able to say in verse 2, look at verse 2 of Isaiah 12. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. And then verse 3, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. From the wells of salvation. Oh, those beautiful wells. The wells of salvation. The eternal flow of God's love. The eternal flow of God's peace and forgiveness. That's mine today because of Christmas. That's yours today if you've put your trust in Him. I love the contrast in these verses. I will not be afraid. Instead, I will have strength. I will sing a song. Christians ought to be the happiest people on the planet Earth. Did you know that? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, never should there be a time when you're going around moping and with your chin down and looking depressed and anything else. You ought to be the happiest person on the face of this earth because Jesus is the happy maker. He is the one who gives us blessing. He is the one who gives us life. He is the one who came so that we might have strength, so that we can be filled with joy. These are strength and songs of joy. The opposite of fear. The opposite of what's happening in our world right now. You know, I love to see good stories take place of things happening out in our communities about, you know, things that make people smile. And I was just watching about a young family. One of them just passed away of COVID. The husband died. He was in his mid-30s. And the wife was left with two small children. And the community came together to help this family. And they provided for them. They built them a new home, in fact. This happened out in the Midwest. And it happened in such a way that the whole community came together, a small little town just like Bodenham. And everybody worked. Everybody pitched in. Everybody's desire was to make this family, this home, who had gone through absolute hell on earth, if I can use that phrase, this past year, give them a better life and a new start and a new hope. Those are the kinds of stories that are blessings to me. Those are the kinds of things that you know, you and I can help in terms of making a neighbor's life better. someone that lives down the road, make their lives a little better. Make our community a little bit better. Those are the things that we can do to be joy makers instead of people that just add to the pile of criticism and negativism. That's where God wants us to be during this Christmas season. He doesn't want you cowering your way through life, intimidated by your circumstances. No COVID is going to hold me down. No COVID needs to hold you down. We can be more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. We can be positive people. We can be people who believe that our hope and our strength is not from this world, but from God Almighty, who inhabits all eternity and who gives us the gift of eternal life because of Christmas and because of His blessing. That's because of Christmas. No matter how weak you were yesterday, you can be strong today. And finally, because of Christmas, the strength to face the future without fear is built on trust. You know, I think of when Joseph was told that Mary was going to have a child. And, I'm sure were all kinds of thoughts that came through the mind of Joseph. And he probably would say the very first thing was, "Not my child. You know, I didn't have anything to do with this." And, there were all the customs he had to deal with of that day. There were all the traditions he had to deal with in that day. There were all the things that were backlashes on Mary's pregnancy that he had to work through. And then the bottom line was that Joseph had to come to the point in his life where he had to trust God completely for what was going to happen, even though he didn't understand it, even though he couldn't comprehend that a virgin was going to have a child. Now, how in the world would that ever be possible? Joseph just had to trust God. Joseph just had to put his faith in Him. Joseph just had to rely on the power and the presence of God's Word. You know, some people in our world today trust their money. Some people trust their new automobiles. Some people trust their bank accounts and their retirement plans and everything else. Some people are really excited right now, this past week especially. They're really trusting Pfizer and the new vaccines that have come out against COVID. You know, I'm excited about those things too. But there's still a little bit of doubt in my mind too. And there's still that little bit, you know. But I am willing to trust God that He's put all the scientists together. And He's going to make it happen so that this COVID-19 is something that will be nothing but a past memory, hopefully in just a few months. That's what I'm trusting. But our trust is so important. Our trust is only as good as that thing in which we put our trust in. And I put my trust in the Lord today. I hope you do too. As we face this Christmas season, I'm trusting that we're trusting. I'm trusting in the Lord with all my heart. I'm leaning not on my own understanding. In all my ways, I'm acknowledging Him that He will direct my paths. That's what I'm trusting. That's my safe place. That is my comfort zone right there. And I hope that you will do the same thing. I'm hoping that you will, during this Christmas season, put your trust entirely on Jesus Christ and Him alone. That your fear, that your despair, that your anxiety will be replaced by His peace, by His presence, by His hope. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." Isaiah says in verse 2, I will trust and not be afraid. I will trust and not be afraid. Here's what it comes down to. Feeling safe. Being in a safe place. Feeling strong. Feeling secure. These are all up to us as we initiate faith and trust in our lives. It all depends on where you want to put your trust. It all depends on who you want to serve and what God you want to know and how you want to be obedient to the Word of God. The government's not going to do it. Our society's not going to do it. Even the scientists will not do it. Only Jesus Christ can do it. As he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The feeling of safety comes from having inner strength. And inner strength comes from putting your trust entirely in Him. In Him. Now, I told you a few months ago that we may need to put our trust more in the Lord, more so than at any other time in our lives. And 2020 has been a good test for that. It's been a good dry run. And many of us have done just that. We have trusted God more in 2020, perhaps, than we've had to in any other period of our lives. But you know, God makes us better when we do that. God refines us when we do that. Because, as Peter says, we come out purer than gold. We come out knowing that He is our strength. He is our song. He is our salvation in every way. And so as we're celebrating the birth of Christ this week, let's remember that Jesus came into this world so that we don't have to live chained to the past and bound by fear. There's no safe place in the world around us, but there is a safe place in Him. There's a safe place in God. So He calls us to put our trust in Him. Will you do that? Trust you well. And God bless you. Father, we thank you today for your word. Help us, Lord, to put our trust in you entirely during this Christmas season. That's all we have, Lord. That's all we need to do. That's what you've called us to do. And I pray, Father, that this Christmas would be an amazing time of rejoicing in your greatest gift of all. The Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in His name I pray. Amen. And if you're here this